Yeah, we had one of those this last week, right? That's why you're mentioning that.
Yes.
But you know, Barb, I have to defend, in a sense, the people in the body of Christ that are not ministers of the gospel, evangelists, teachers, prophets, and so on. They're the recipients of the teaching. But you know something? We have not taught people how to receive. We said, you got to sow. You got to bring your tithes to the storehouse. After all, we got to pay the light bill and the pastor's salary, and you know, we got to pay off the church bonds, and we got to do all this stuff. And I'm going to say this in defense of the people. I believe we have not been taught to reap. We have been taught to give, but we haven't been taught to sow. We have been taught to pay, but we haven't been taught to sow. Mm-hmm. Now, I know I'm throwing out a lot of concepts there, but I believe that if we planted the right seed, had we been taught, we would be great reapers. I believe we would have surplus, and out of our surplus, and I know some people would never, they'd never catch on. They'd go out and blow the whole deal. But I think that's a very minimal part of the congregations that we speak to. Yeah, there are a few knotheads who would never catch on. You know, they'd see discretionary. Oh, they think, oh, man, I got all this money. And they go out and blow it on some frivolous thing. Yes, yes, there are a few people around like that. But I believe that most people, if they had surplus, if they had multiplied harvest, they would go pay the bills off. Mm-hmm. They would get out of the trouble. But one of the problems is that we haven't had that multiplied harvest. And I'm talking very openly, very honestly here. I've been raised in a church. I've been a tither since I was in high school. And sometimes I tithe 30, 40%. And I enjoy and giving is easy for me. But I have to tell you, I have not seen that 30-fold, 60-fold, 100-fold come. If I had, I would have a very large estate right now.
Well, you did admit, though, to me, that in the past you have not been diligent in doing the tithe. For instance...
For a short period of time, but for the most part I have tithed from 10 to 30, 40%, and tithing is easy for me.
But tithing, though, with a cheerful heart is one thing. Tithing out of obligation is another thing. And I believe a lot of people have tithed because, like you said, the pastor told them, but they haven't tithed with any expectation at all.
Well, let me say this. When I got behind on the tithe, or when I didn't tithe, I realized, Lord, this is not right. And it didn't take me long to realize that. I repented for stealing from God, for commingling his money with my money. Now, I would like to sit here and say, I've been Mr. Perfection all my life. I've always, 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 always. Well, there have been a couple times when I stubbed my toe on that issue, and it was sin. I recognized it as sin, and I asked forgiveness. And I hope that you who are listening to this message today will do exactly what I've just said. If you have stolen the tithes from the Lord, you've been a thief, admit you're a thief, go to God and say, I'm sorry, I repent, please forgive me, I want to start over, give me a clean slate, and I believe he'll do that. And then I believe he'll start bringing revelation knowledge. But here we have, according to Matthew, been given the mysteries of the kingdom. But we haven't applied some of those seven spirits of the Lord that are listed in Isaiah 11, 2, which are part of Holy Spirit. It's spirit of wisdom, counsel, understanding, revelation knowledge. We need to have the revelation knowledge and the understanding applied to the mysteries. If we're going to understand how to truly plant, with the idea of having a multiplied harvest, we've got to plant right. At the very, very beginning of this, we've got to really plant right. And I have to say this to the preachers, teachers like ourselves, where is the accountability? Have we gone to the people and said, are you getting the harvest? If you're not getting the harvest here, something's wrong. And I believe it's our obligation as teachers of the word to get in there and go with Holy Spirit and press into the kingdom. It says the violent take the kingdom by force. Well, we need to be violent, finding out, Lord, give us the answers here. Show us the mysteries. Detail the mysteries for us. Give us the revelation and the understanding of these mysteries so we're not found wanting all the time. So where there is no harvest, I believe that what we're doing is we're allowing the world to mock the covenant. Because it says in Deuteronomy 8:18, I've given you power to get wealth that you may confirm the covenant which he swore to your fathers as it remains this day. And it says in completeness there, Deuteronomy 8:18, and you shall remember the Lord thy God, for it is he who is giving you power to get wealth, in one translation says, make wealth, in another translation, that you may confirm, or that he may confirm the covenant which he swore to your fathers as it remains this day. Well, do we have the power to make wealth? Absolutely. Now, when you sow your seed, do you sow it with power, or you just drop it in the offering plate, or you send it in the mail, or, you know, you give it to a ministry and you say, boy, I tell you, I'm going to kiss that goodbye because I'll never see that again. And that's the attitude of a lot of people. They don't see the harvest tied in with the seed. So really their matter of unbelief there is stopping the multiplication process from really happening. And the Lord was speaking to me even the last 24 hours, and he said, Darren, when you plant the seed, you need to know that you have the power to make wealth. And you need to plant the seed with power. In other words, with the enablement to have the seed time and the harvest. And when you plant the seed, you plant the power. And the power is right there with the seed. And the power is what multiplies the seed and brings the harvest. Now, I've never had that explained to me before, but Holy Spirit gave that to me just last night. He said, you need to plant seed with power. Don't just wait and try to apply the power to the harvest wherever, somewhere, wherever it is, you know, and you hope that it all comes through. Well, we have the power to plant, and we have the power to reap. And that power to make wealth is the multiplication step in there to take your seed and multiply that. And you know, that's a mystery. See, that's a mystery. We need a revelation on that mystery. He says, I've given you the mysteries of the kingdom, and that's one of them. And I'm excited to tell you that I believe that when we plant, we have a harvest. Now, if you take a look at an apple, you say, how many apple seeds are in that apple? What we could say is, how many orchards are in that apple? Now, we could eat the apple. We could cook the apple. All right. We could make applesauce out of it. We could do all those things. But the seed that is in there has life for the next harvest. Your seed, if you look at it right, it has a harvest inside of that seed. That's the way God programmed the seed concept. Now, we being creative like our Heavenly Father, because in Genesis 1, you'll notice, and I think it's about 11 times, God said, and then the Holy Spirit came along with the power, and God created what God said. And God said, I think, 11 times, and at the end of that chapter, he says, and then he saw. Well, we need to see in the Spirit that when we plant the seed, we're seeing a harvest, and we're going to stand with great expectation knowing that harvest is going to come in. And I believe, Barbara, that's a matter of title deed. In Hebrews 11:1, it says, faith is the substance of things hoped for, the expectation or the assurance or the title deed of things hoped for. I mean, that's what we're going to hold on to with, and that's our faith. Faith is the substance. Faith is what we have to hang on until that harvest is totally manifested and back in our hands.
We know that in the Old Testament, Darren, the people that actually believed God and his words to them, and, for instance, that really took Deuteronomy 28 and ran with it. These people were very prosperous. And they not only sowed in great soil, but they sowed with expectation. And we see all of the prophets, the mighty men of God, Abraham, Isaac, Jacob, were very wealthy men. And we also see examples of when not only when they planted in the fields, they got a great harvest, but then God commanded them, I want you to leave some of the produce around the corners of the field so that people can pick them up, people that are poorer than you, people that don't have any sustenance, that maybe some of the widows and orphans. And especially in the book of Ruth, when Ruth came along and came back with Naomi, you may remember, those of you listening, that she went out and she and Naomi lived off of that stuff that was left on the outskirts of the fields, because that was left for the poor people. Those were alms in that day. They left those as alms. Well, today, as we sow, as we truly sow into good soil, you're going to find out not only are your tithes going to bring about great abundance, but also the alms that you give to the poor, like Tony and the kids. You're going to give alms like that, and you're going to be also reaping from that.
Well, Barbara, I really believe that I have to again take a look at the way we've received offerings in churches and in meetings and television, radio. I believe our seed has been dishonored in many respects. In fact, I was watching a television program of a Sunday morning service the other day, and I noticed these men standing at the end of the pews in the front of the church. Now, I've been an usher. I've probably done most of the jobs in the church, but when the choir stood up to sing, they started to take the offering. Nothing was said about the offering, and really that's one way we worship God. And I believe that sometimes, in fact, I've had pastors tell me, oh, I hate fundraising. I just hate fundraising. And I said to a young minister of the gospel the other day, I said, you know, we've had dinner together, and you